are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
OneOfUs.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Pub, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to OneOfUs.net and don't forget your towel.
Introducing from Austin, Texas.
Right here is $25,000. And it goes to any human being that can eliminate Ric Flair from wrestling.
He goes into the mic, he goes into the lens. He pushed the record point and he's already red. He's got a briefcase full of cash for anyone wax. And I'm gonna carry out his attention tab. Somebody take my damn,
We're back in the ring. It's Thumbtacks and Screwjobs with me, Richard.
And Gene.
Hey! It's been a busy month.
Hell of a month. Some great stuff and some ho-hum stuff.
Well, let's start with... I'll tell you what I'll start with. Earlier on, because we've got Clash of Champions is coming up very soon. And the WWE Network had a Best of Clash of Champions that they've had on far for a while because it was introduced by Dusty Rhodes, which is like breaking heart. Do you remember that Rick Rude's finishing move, the Rude Awakening, was a neck breaker?
Yes.
How times have changed. It was a simpler time. I think it was hilarious because they were watching it and just going like, "This is such a hot crowd," and I was like, that's like a mediocre Raw crowd. It's like, it just shows you how our standards have changed as a wrestling audience, which brings us to what I think was an okay pay-per-view with a great ending.
Correct.
And that was Backlash.
WWE pay-per-views, as far as they go, it was a typical WWE pay-per-view, honestly. And it reminds me almost of the Attitude, the early part of the Attitude era, where they had a really mediocre undercard, but a main event that was so good that it kept you coming back week after week.
What got me was that it was okay all the way down. Some odd booking decisions.
Which is par for the course for SmackDown since the brand split.
Some weird booking decisions, which was kind of, they're weird because they were sensible. Putting the women's belt on Becky Lynch? Well, why wouldn't you? I'm kind of tired.
She's been treated like, no pun intended, redheaded stepchild since the three of the four horsewomen have been brought up to the main roster. She's been treated like a complete geek. The brand split, it sucks that her and Natalya were the only strong ring workers that were sent to the blue team. But Becky, it was long overdue. Way overdue for her to win that title.
And it wasn't a bad match.
Yeah, that six-pack challenge. My concern is SmackDown. I felt this way since the brand split. Raw has had the better booking, but the stale writing that feels like the same stuff we've been seeing for 19 years. SmackDown has had the superior writing, but the weird booking, especially with the tag team and the women's division, where they're just throwing stuff at the wall to see what sticks.
Yeah.
Too many clustered matches, too many people. I really hope they shift to more one-on-one women's matches.
I hate that whole, we've got everybody here, let's use them all. It's like, what that means is you've got, bless her, Carmella is not great.
Carmella was not ready to come up.
Subpar.
Alexa Bliss?
I've liked Alexa Bliss for years.
They have to do something with her. I know their pet project is Dana Brooke.
Which is a bad idea. She's not getting any better.
Alexa Bliss, every week, she improves by leaps and bounds.
And she was good down in NXT. I mean, you know, that spinning splash is really kind of awesome.
It is.
I still don't quite know how she pulls that off. She's great. She should be their top heel.
I agree.
If anybody is going to take the belt off of Becky, and I don't think it should be automatic, I think Becky should have a run, and then I think Alexa should come in and go, nah, that's mine now.
It needs to be one of the newer talents.
She's the only one
that I can see it happening with. My concern is, I know WWE has supposedly moved past the whole, we like tall people, and she is really short, but damn, she's such a good ring worker.
And as my wife pointed out, amazing ass.
Ah.
She really does it. Like, that's the thing. Alexa Bliss's gimmick is, I'm so insanely hot, I'm so good at this, that she's basically what the Bellas were supposed to be when they were introduced, is like actually competent. And she actually is. And she's like, I hate you all. You are all beneath me. And I'm like, I kind of love that gimmick. Yeah. And she carries it off. That's the thing. She absolutely nails it. I think she may be the most underused talent going on.
I would say in pro wrestling, top five most underused talent of any company. Okay. And I honestly see her leading a faction one day, either a women's faction or, have some male enforcers or something. She needs to lead. We haven't even talked about her mic skills.
Oh, she's so good.
Really good.
She is literally everything Dana Brooke is not at this moment. Which is sad for Dana, because all you do is go, why was she brought up? She was a year away from being ready. I'm sorry. She has no justification being on the top brand. Just none whatsoever. Yeah. Other weird booking, the tag team championships.
Oh, dear God.
The only good thing that has come out of this is the raw joy of the Heath Slater and Rhino skits.
Yes.
Nothing they do this year will beat the raw joy of watching Rhino draw a sad face onto a cracker with Cheese Whiz and showing it to Renee.
It is like, proof point that had ECW went longer, and they toned down some of the more extreme violence, the personalities were there to where they could do some of the less risque stuff and still have been successful.
There's a reason why Paul Heyman made him the last ECW champion. He was like, I got to get this. I got to put the belt on this guy to put him over. And the WWE's never really known what to do with him. TNA never really knew what to do with him. And he's like, they were just like, he's a solid hand. And it's like, this guy is funny.
He's absolutely
hilarious.
There's a reason Edge, for a little while, Edge, Christian, that little group.
But he was their enforcer. That he worked. He's got great timing. But him and Heath Slater, it's a good choice. Turning the Usos heel.
The Usos needed to go heel, but I've not been impressed so far with their heel run.
Well, I think the particular problem is that their heel turn has happened
at an awkward time.
Well, particularly they've adapted a new move, which is that drop kick to the back of the leg.
Yes.
Which somebody on Raw is using that as well. I can't remember who it is on Raw is using that. And it's like, you both use it on the like, and it's like, well, you can't do that. Like, I know the brand split's important, but you've got to have a degree of communication, because now it's just like, well, everybody's using this new move.
Yeah, at least when you were copying the Young Bucks super kick party, it was someone from a different promotion. But yeah, I don't like WWE tournaments because logic seems to get thrown out of the window. And even Otunga called it, where the Usos got eliminated in 18 seconds. American Alpha won that match. So the Usos, after the match, injured.
None of that makes sense.
So you then give the Usos another chance in the tournament?
You give them the slot of the people they knocked out. Shouldn't they be suspended?
Yes.
Be completely the opposite? Like, when David Otunga is the voice of reason.
That lets you know we've gone to cuckoo land.
Yeah, I mean, the Ascension, yet again buried. Breezango, yet again buried. American Alpha, this was the chance for them to put them really over. I have no idea why they didn't.
American Alpha, you have some time. I think, I don't want to say it was too soon, but if you start giving them the keys to the kingdom, Jason Jordan is going to start feeling like Roman Reigns, and the crowd is going to turn on him. They're going to need some more time.
They need some more time, but it was a weird way. Like, have a screw job finish.
Yeah.
Have them get screwed. You know, either the Usos are serious contenders or they're not. And I don't get this whole, like, yeah, and like having them be cripplers is perfectly fine. I don't understand everything else you're doing with them. It just doesn't make any sense. I know I'm in a minority. I love the Hype Bros. I think they're such great fun. The thing I still know, I have no idea why they did this. Why did they bring the Headbangers back for a weekend? Is it literally that they have nobody? They don't have enough people.
I know the Headbangers have been working the indies. They started again in what, 2010, 2012.
So
they didn't have a lot of ring rust. And they honestly look better now than they ever did in their old school WWE days.
Not hard. nobody tuned into Heat to see a technical masterclass between the Headbangers and the New Age Outlaws. That was not going to happen. The weirdest booking decision for me. And this was the one where this has been the most divisive match. The Miz versus Ziggler.
Okay, yeah, this is what we needed to get to.
A match that, here's my take. You've got Dolph Ziggler, who needs a win so desperately. This guy needs to be legitimized again because they've done everything to put him in a hole in the ground. The Miz, okay, I will be honest, he's not bad these days. He's actually pretty good.
Yes.
10 years at the top of the business, you better be good.
Yes.
Like, no excuse.
Where was this Miz? In 2009 or 2012.
He wasn't this then. I think he's got better. I think it's one of those instances where the switch flicked and suddenly it's like, oh, okay. This guy's actually,
maybe he got sick of the insults.
Also it helps that you get to take 6 months off to go shoot a film, which he was probably shooting for like 3 months.
And
not even that. While holding
the Intercontinental Championship.
He'll have been shooting that film for a month and he was off for half the year. Like, of course you've got time to go get back in shape and feel healthy, and like everybody else has been working the road. And he's like, what the hell? Of course you're going to look better than Ziggler. Ziggler's just beaten up at this point. I think Ziggler looks really good. The thing is, Ziggler, is the main complaint against him has always been he works too fast. He's slowed down. The Miz now has improved. And what do? You give an ending that puts neither of them over. Neither of them. It puts Maurice over as a cut price Sonny.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Miz has been much better at that since the Apollo Crews squash match where he beat him clean in the middle of the ring.
Baron Corbin versus Apollo Crews. Who even remembers that happen? Two guys who should just go back down to NXT for a while.
Agreed.
I'd like to see Corbin versus Samoa Joe.
I'd like to see Samoa Joe beat him so badly that then...
Oh, yeah.
Corbin goes back to NXT.
That's why. I'm okay with that. Okay with that course of events. When they had the house show in Austin, and I know I've talked about this before, but Prince Devitt putting the hurt on Baron Corbin after Corbin failed to understand how you take a DDT.
Oh,
like,
dear.
Day three of wrestling school, and Corbin just Finn Balor just straight put it through the barrier. Like, I mean, that was him beating the shit out of him, and Corbin going, oh man, I'm going to get the shit beaten out of me. Like, I just stand here and take this beating for the next 2 minutes because I'm an imbecile. What was your take on that match?
The Miz? Honestly, I was one of the naysayers when people were saying Miz is better. I wasn't a believer. Over the past month, I am now a believer. The Miz is promos have been infinitely better. His ring work is when the Miz has possibly the second best match of the night.
Yes.
You know that either we're in Bizarro World or Miz has been focusing on his craft.
Oh, and okay, let's talk about the worst match of the night.
Is this the Bray Wyatt Kane match?
I can't even call it the worst match of the night because I don't know what this was about. I have no idea. If you're in a situation where you've set up a feud and one guy you can't get medically cleared for whatever reason it is.
And let's talk about that. They knew early that morning that Randy Orton was not cleared.
Yeah.
Still advertised the match. That has got to be some of the worst false advertising by WWE.
I just accept that they're going to do stupid shit like that. That didn't even bug me. But to have Bray Wyatt, who you're trying to set up as something, you know, as a major heel, you're putting him in a feud that is supposed to put Randy Orton back over after he got made look like a schlub by
Daddy's pet Brock Lesnar.
By Brock in the dumbest work I think I've seen in years. I mean, we talked about how bad an idea that was.
Yeah.
So that Bray Wyatt puts him out of commission by hitting him with a door. What slapstick nonsense is this? So wins that match because Orton's not there, and then gets booked all of a sudden into a match with Kane and gets jobbed out to Kane, who is not even in this feud.
In 2016.
Why?
In 2016.
Why? What? I have scratched my head for hours trying to work out what on earth they would think of this. Why do you think they did it? Because I can't get it.
This is one of those things where I don't want to bring backstage politics into this, but there are certain people who I feel there are agendas with. I think Vince McMahon, when it came to Alberto Del Rio, the sky was the limit. But for whatever reason, Triple H was maybe in his papa-in-law's ear about maybe not pushing him so hard. Bray Wyatt, I feel it's the other way around. I feel Triple H wants to put the rocket pack, or he's wanted to put the rocket pack on him from day one. But Vince and Kevin Dunn have been hemming and hawing with it, or tinkering with that, with Trip's project. There seems to be something, someone back, the way that Dolph Ziggler basically accuses upper management of holding him back, that's the way I feel Bray Wyatt is right now. It feels like he's getting the screws put to him by someone backstage.
Yeah, I do not understand what the problem is.
He is so good in the ring, so good on the mic. His mystique and aura is gone now.
Yeah.
He could have been the next Undertaker. He really could have been.
They need to take him away for 6 months, do nothing with him, bring him back, have him just destroy somebody at WrestleMania. The thing is, he's looking better than he ever has.
He looks
really good. He's moving really fast. This is a guy that I'm so frustrated about how badly they've misused
him. I don't even think 6 months. I honestly think you send him away, let him beat the holy hell out of someone at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Like, maybe even enter the Rumble, first time seeing him in 4 months, drag someone out of the ring, Mick Foley level beat down to whoever or whatever, and let that simmer all the way until Mania, and then give him a match and one of his most dominant outings ever.
Yeah, I think that's the only way you can save him at this point, because I don't get what it is they think they're doing. But then, match of the night, by far, because that championship bout, I loved how it was told. That you have Dean Ambrose, a guy they keep misbooking in matches. And they never really give him a shot to...
He's
go back and look at, you know, the Jon Moxley stuff, even in CZW. He's a really good technical wrestler. He's also a really good brawler. They've just gone, we want Dean Ambrose to be a brawler. So you have this match where he's going up against AJ Styles, the best wrestler on the planet. Bar none. Not even pound for pound. The best.
Period.
A guy you could put in any promotion, and he's going to look just put on a 4-star match minimum. You know, he's Kota Ibushi putting on a 4-star match with an inflatable doll level of good. Like, that's how good these guys are. So, but you've got him now. You've got this brilliant storytelling that worked all the way through of Dean Ambrose wants to make this a brawl because he will win a brawl. But he has to fight a technical match to get AJ to the point where he can make it a brawl. He has to take all of AJ's flying arsenal off him. He has to take his speed off him. So that's what he does. He fights that technical match.
Yes.
Whereas, you know, once he's in the brawl, AJ has to fight it back to give himself the clearance. That story was perfect, and it told the story that you want from those guys.
Exactly.
It was. I think it was... It's on the list of Ambrose's best matches to date in WWE. It's yet another 5-star outing from AJ. And they put the belt on the right guy.
Yeah. My concern is great match with not enough build. This needed a 2-month build up, I believe. And because you're ping ponging because of so many pay per views per year now, it's like title match after title match after title match. Dean's fighting everyone. There are two issues I have with Dean Ambrose. One, his 2015 win-loss record.
Oh,
just
hideous.
Actually, that's my main...
What do you mean his 2015 loss record?
Yes, pretty much.
Did he win anything?
I don't know.
Some, like, stupid three-man, six-man tag.
He was the lost man out of the Shield, and I cannot... His entire world championship run, he felt like a transitional champ. I did not... It felt like he was just waiting for someone bigger.
Well, that's because I think in no small part was that they didn't prioritize his matches. Like everybody You're else's correct. Match was more important than the stupid mistake. To the end of the year, like I don't think there'll be a worse booking decision than finishing out SummerSlam with the world's weirdest, most disappointing. Like Here's Brock Lesnar, and he's just dropping elbows that were getting kicked out of the UFC. Why do I care about this? This whole, that whole thing. It's like, where is this supposed to go?
Exactly.
I think they've had so little of an idea of what to do with Dean. He also was really, which is a real shame, because he proved he's one of those rare baby faces that does not have to be in the hunt to be good in the championship title. That you've got this guy who's like, yeah, no, like I will always be the underdog because it doesn't matter whether I got the belt or not, it doesn't matter who I beat, I'm always going to be the underdog here. And God damn it, he nails it every time.
Yeah, he does. Every pay-per-view, he does put on a solid match. I don't think with two exceptions, the Ziggler match, I felt that he actually got outworked by Ziggler. I don't know what his timing was a bit off in that match. And normally it's Ziggler whose timing's off.
Yeah.
That match, it was all Ambrose. And the Lesnar match, which is no fault of Ambrose. That was all Brock not wanting to do business.
This is why I don't think Brock belongs in the ring. You are there to get each other over, and he doesn't believe in that. And it's like, well, you know what? Screw you. Go
Brock's
on.
Never wanted to be a pro wrestler, and you could... His entire demeanor exudes, I don't give a shit about pro wrestling. I only care about a paycheck.
Yeah.
But overall, Backlash, not really a bad pay-per-view. I wouldn't put it anywhere up in my top of the year, but it was enjoyable. And it didn't run too long. The first one of the year...
It was actually under 3 hours.
Yes, the first one this year that was not 3 hours long.
I don't think it was the first one this year. It's like 2 years since they haven't run over. It's constant complaint. They're always running over. And this felt like, this is a lean, efficient pay-per-view with a good long main event and a not overloaded card.
They had to stretch out some of the matches and some of the promos, the backstage stuff, because... I think they only had about 2 hours worth of material.
That main event must have went... I don't know how long that went.
It was 25 minutes.
It really earned it.
It earned it.
Absolutely.
It did.
And now we've got AJ Styles, a guy who, what I like about AJ is that he has been consistently good for 15 years now. Like the guy is about as good as it gets. I remember seeing him put on just amazing matches in the UK back in the early to mid-2000s. You just watch him and go, like, this guy's just superb. Now he's at this point where I don't think anybody's ever going to match his record because he has held the championship in basically every major promotion.
ROH, TNA,
New Japan, WWE. I mean, we're not, you know, like you were saying, the only things that really left for him are Triple A, CMLL.
Lucha Underground.
Lucha Underground was like, it's, you know, the belt doesn't really mean anything there, no, so that's like, you know, really. Yeah, it doesn't really count.
Honestly, and, he doesn't, if this was his only title reign.
Insanity in the UK.
Yes.
That's it. Exactly. And Insanity's so fresh out, they're so new that it's really hard to classify where they are. He held the NWA belt as well, NWA Wildside belt as well. I mean, like, the guy's held everything.
If this is his only WWE championship reign, I would not be upset at it, because that was the only missing piece to prove that he can do anything. He could be a Jericho. He could be basically a main event enhancement talent to help get people over. You can give him a match against Taker at Mania. You can get, you know, AJ's done it all. I'm proud of, it was the right call putting the belt on him. He was two deserving title changes at this pay-per-view. Becky Lynch more than deserved it, and same goes for AJ Styles.
And the one thing that he didn't get this year, because somebody's stupid. Let's talk about the Pro Wrestling Insider.
Oh, dear God.
PWI
500.
This is
the only... I'm not backing their decision of who they selected as number one. But when you go by the dates that they selected, July 2015 through June 2016... which was, if I'm not mistaken, right before the suspension
of
Roman Reigns. He had a big WrestleMania win against the main event.
We are, of course, talking about everybody's favorite pet project, Roman Reigns.
33 months that this project has been a project, and they still have not sufficiently gotten this guy over.
Oh, this is a stupid thing, like, because PWI, their rankings may be the only place on the planet that actually treats win-loss records as absolutely... Like, what? So...
If that was the case, Dean Ambrose should be bottom of the freaking list.
He'd be 501. So it made no sense. I think they have to alter their criteria, because, you know, what you're doing now is like... Look, we know, dear PWI, it's not real.
It's still real to me.
Everything's the results are predetermined. So, like, to decide like which bad script, bit, you know, which idiot on the 50-man script writing team has decided, oh, we're going to give Roman another win, like, that's stupid as all hell. You should know better.
Yeah.
But just no. I'm sorry. No. I mean, like, and the rest of the lineup this year.
Kevin Owens made that top five.
Let's go down the list. Okada, Finn Balor.
Okada, I don't think there's any question.
Oh, okay.
He will be in the top 10 until his dying day.
I love the fact that PWI always used to include a few Japanese guys. I think as much as anything else, just to piss off American audiences who at that point couldn't get New Japan. and it was annoying because of people working in the UK. I'm like, they're not even making the list, and these guys are really good. Like, why aren't you paying attention? I think they just did that just to annoy people. Okada, Finn Balor, absolutely deserve it. AJ, Jay Lethal.
Jay Lethal.
Oh my god,
one of the best championship runs in the history and Ring of Honor history of the past at least 5 years of any promotion.
Yeah. Oh, he's
the feud to. And the passing of the torch was done in one of the best changing of... and the feud between him and Adam Cole, perfection. And I do not like where a storyline or an angle where hair is lost and it's not in a hair match.
Yeah.
But it put Adam Cole over to the moon.
Oh, yeah. Kevin Owens, absolutely deserved.
Shinsuke Nakamura.
Shinsuke, who
came into NXT and
just annihilated, fireball. Rollins, Ambrose.
Yeah, I'm shocked. Well, Ambrose, I think just because he's the world champion, if he didn't have that belt, he would not be in the top 10 at all.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's a lot in there that I'm in absolute agreement with, and then I just can't look at that rest of that list and say Roman Reigns belongs in there.
Honestly, and this is, call me silly,
You're silly.
I won't say Matanza. I want to say Matanza may be deserving of the number 10 spot, and I think either Bobby Lashley or EC3 deserves the number 9 spot.
I could go with EC3.
I say Lashley because he's finally found the missing piece to the puzzle. Mike skills. The one thing he's been lacking forever. He does not need a mouthpiece. He can actually work a great promo now.
I would EC3. I can see and I can't go with Bass Lashley. Adam Cole could readily be in there.
Agreed. Drew Galloway has made leaps and bounds.
Leaps and bounds. The best thing that happened to that guy was leaving WWE.
Yes.
Yeah. Who else was I thinking? I was thinking of somebody else.
I want to say Prince Puma, but he's not Prince Puma in every promotion. It's like, it's a different guy.
Yeah. Who else? There was somebody else I was thinking of, and it's going to come to me in a minute, and it'll... somebody bring it on it, and it's going. Kenny Omega. Why is Kenny Omega not in that list?
There are a lot of old school people.
And they don't like him, but I think that's because he's
and the Young Bucks are there on the old school guys shit list for some reason.
I can see more why they're pissed at the Young Bucks. I think being pissed at Kenny Omega, who just has had a stellar year, I think that's a bad mistake. But end of the day, Roman Reigns, no. But let's move on to the two things that I think we're actually getting a decent payoff on now. One, the Cruiserweight Classic, which has brought back. If you're not a subscriber to the WWE Network, which I'm presuming most of you are,
$9.99 a month,
or just even if it's just for 1 month, and just burn through,
10 episodes.
Up there with everything I've heard about Battle of Los.
Bola, yes.
Which everybody said was just 3 nights of just glory. And the most recent New Japan, the G1 Classic, which I've heard nothing but good word about. But this is just spectacular because it's so many different styles, different approaches, different mentalities because they've got so many different nationalities.
Yes.
And I hope so many guys were put
McMahon
over.
Was actually watching and learning that cruiserweights are not just high flyers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some of my favorite performances that because everybody's kind of gone, Kota Ibushi, clearly the guy's one of the greatest on the planet at the moment. Grand Metalik, one of the greatest on the planet at the moment. TJ Perkins, who, absolutely deserved to win.
Honestly, there was a lot of backlash at the win. People are still thinking back to Manic in TNA.
Yeah.
And he was not putting on some of his better matches there. He has improved so much since those. And we're talking 3-4 years.
I like everybody was Manic at some point or other. I think I was Manic at some point.
How long ago was that? And let's face facts. The fourth semifinalist, Grand Metalik, he had dates in Mexico going into 2017.
Yeah.
If he did get signed full WWE, he wouldn't be able to put up full-time contract. Ibushi and Zack Sabre Jr. wouldn't sign.
Yeah.
He was the only logical choice. You had to put the belt on Perkins.
Maybe Noam Dar. You could have, but I think Dar's a little young.
Two people in the Classic whose work I was far from impressed. Ho Ho Loon
needs to work on his facials a lot.
Yes.
I mean, he was good. He was a bit green. He wasn't terrible.
And Noam Dar. Noam Dar, his first match was so sloppy. I just could not believe he made it. Second match, he improved.
And him versus Zack Sabre.
Yes. Although Sabre didn't put on his best match during that outing. Honestly, all of his other matches were significantly better than the Noam Dar one.
Yeah. But people,
Cedric Alexander.
Oh, Cedric Alexander, who's got a contract now. Like, yes. he's just like...
Fans were chanting, please sign Cedric.
He's so good. He's just insanely good. I mean, I was also... if you go back to the early rounds, Jack Gallagher... I think Jack Gallagher is totally underrated.
Phenomenal.
And have you ever seen... go find his promos. The whole Gentleman Jack Gallagher gimmick is just... peerless. Nobody is doing he looks like nothing. He's this skinny guy.
No one looks like him in this.
I'm just gonna break every bone in your body. He is a perfect spaghetti man stretch artist.
Yes.
He's so good. And you put him in NXT with Regal over his shoulder. Ooh. Oh my god. He would just be the best.
Future champion. I could see him.
Everybody's like, man, how are you winning? And that'd be the thing. He'd be the guy that frustrates everybody because they look at him and go, how are you beating me? It's like, where is my arm?
I'm just thinking matches of him against, like, oh my god, him against Tommaso Ciampa, him against Nakamura.
Let's talk about the Gargano Ciampa match. Which may be the best match of the whole thing because it had such psychology.
So much drama.
It got them both over at their best. You know, got Gargano over as like this multi-purpose, high flyer with
good. If that was a main roster match, they would have made the mistake of having Ciampa turn on him at the end of the match.
Oh yeah, no.
Which I'm so glad they did not do.
And Ciampa just looked like a killer. Ciampa looked like one of the scariest.
It looked like classic ROH, the true Sicilian psychopath.
He was on fire. That whole thing. I think the most underrated guy, because he went out in the first round, I think people were so shocked, like there's the quality of the matches. What's his name? Talk amongst yourselves for a second. Clement Pettiot, who was like, I looked at him and was like, that guy needs to be signed now. Because he didn't. He came in, he was like, guy in black trunks with, like, nothing really going on.
Yeah.
And he came out, and I'm like, this guy is phenomenal. He is a 5'10" killer. He was the heaviest guy in there. Barely at weight. But he came out, and I'm like, this guy is a great submission guy. He hits us. I mean, I want to see him versus Ciampa. I really want to see that match. I want to see two guys going into that and another just beating guy. The piss out of each
that
other.
That is true. Another guy I was completely impressed with, Tony Nese.
Oh, Tony Nese.
And not only that, he has the look, the Vince Kevin Dunn. Oh, we got to sign this guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's also talk about the shadow hanging over the whole thing. That has to be the fact there was no Will Ospreay.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be an asshole about this, but, you know, that they know that if Will wasn't signed to New Japan through, what, is it 2018, I think?
I think early 2018.
Yeah, we would have heard Pip Pip Motherfucker on that.
Yes.
Like, he is the guy they clearly wanted. You have cruiserweight division, and you at the moment with the best guys on the planet, and you don't have Will Ospreay. Like it's just timing. And I know they've had some stuff of like, yeah, well, he's had a few concussions. It's like he's gone. You know what? I need to slow down. And for a guy of his age to go, I need to work out how to keep my career going
and to go longer,
and to have better matches and more technical matches, not just these.
Tell a story. Yeah. You can tell a story with a slower pace match.
And for him to be that young and know that, Will Ospreay, they have to have the contract pre-signed for him right now and know exactly where they're going to put him into the company in 2018.
Yeah, before his bump card gets very, very filled.
Well, I think he's got the advantage that he's kind of like the Hardys, particularly Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy, when he was young, could do that shit. You give him a few days to recover and he could come back and do it. Jeff Hardy, when he's 30, can't do that shit. And that was the problem. He kept doing, you know, 20 crazy spots in every match. And it's like, you can't go out there and do 6 ladder matches a week. that's just going to kill you. And I think Will Ospreay is going, I've made my name. I've got a few things that hurt. I'm going to have a few things that really hurt when I'm older. I have to evolve now. Will Ospreay, in 2 years' time, when they come to him with that big money contract, is going to be a franchise player. Okay. My hope is that AJ sticks around for just long enough that we get AJ versus Ospreay.
Yeah, because AJ's, which I suspect, what, 38?
Yeah, my suspicion is he'll stick around for maybe three.
Three years.
Because, yeah, he's a road dog, but he knows we... This is about...
This feeds his family.
Cementing his reputation, yeah. And putting himself up, you know, and making himself financially secure for the rest of his life.
Exactly.
Absolutely a smart thing to do. But I think he's going to be like Cody Reynolds. As I think we now have to call him just Cody R, because they're not surprised, they were bound to. You know, I think he's at the point where he's like, I want to do those matches I want to do. There's the guys I want to face, and I want to face them in this environment. And the idea that he's not going to be headlining, proper headlining, not CM Punk third down the card headlining WrestleMania next year, was insane. You have to have him headlining.
Exactly.
Because that will be the perfect moment. But the other interesting thing that, before we move on to, I know where you're giddy about.
Oh, delightful.
Yeah. Oh, but let's talk about Women of Honor.
Yes.
The fact that Ring of Honor is being really serious about having a women's division.
Overdue.
They've got so much talent. The other thing is that they are more likely to, let's be honest, Vince likes to see ribs, and they're more likely to go, let's actually get people who work. That's the criteria. I will play personal favorite here. I think that Taylor Hendricks is one of the best all-round heels there is in the business at the moment. She's a great worker. The heel persona is so perfect. It's in how she moves. It's in the promos. It's in absolutely everything. I think Taylor Hendricks is what Vince thinks he's making with Eva Marie, which just shows Vince doesn't understand how to make a heel.
Which understands Vince is out of touch with what the wrestling audience wants in 2016.
Yeah.
But I'm excited, and there's plenty of talent. Hell, do you really believe Sexy Star from Lucha Underground staying retired?
No. I mean, their current women's roster, Amber Gallows, Deonna Purrazzo.
Amber to the moon. I could see her...
Oh, yeah.
Being champ.
Faye Jackson, Jessica Havoc, who's, like, so good, and I've been really, real big fan of hers for years. Kelly Klein, Kanani Brink, Mandy Leon, absolutely. Even though she's hosting, I think you just, she knows how to work. Apparently ODB's on the roster at the moment somewhere in there.
Really?
Apparently.
Wow. And you know they're going to have to work, because ROH audience... They demand a certain type of match.
Yeah, but you can go out. You can the people you can put out there with they've got. Yeah, Veda Scott versus Taylor Hendricks.
Oh, Veda Scott, she will always be over.
Yeah,
always be over. Ring of Honor.
Oh, just everywhere. I just like she's great and she's lovely. Tiny. We want to talk about small people. First time I met Veda Scott, I was like, that is one of the smallest wrestlers I've ever met in my life, and she. Goes for it. And she does, you know, any match.
And she is kind of like Sunny, where student of the game that people don't realize. She has a computer-like wrestling mind. She knows so much about the business.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about it. Oh, my God. The tragedy is that TNA is on Pop TV, which most people can't get, and even being down in the doldrums in the like high quadruple digit channels, TNA is managing to be the most, possibly the most talked about promotion after WWE.
I honestly don't understand how that episode last week did not do numbers the way the first Final Deletion did. First Final Deletion, there was a spike of about 25%. So yeah. it got to almost 500,000 viewers. This one, no, it was still at like 320-ish.
I think the issue is that people don't know the
Pop TV.
Well, they don't know Pop TV and they don't know Decay enough, which is a real shame.
Yeah, everyone knows the Hardys.
Yeah, like the Hardys going out and being completely bonkers at each other.
Yeah.
It's funny because people go, oh, they're trying something new. They've been trying to do these kind of filmic components for years. You go back and look at Bubba Ray versus Anderson.
Oh yeah,
they, okay. You know, and they had these kind of elements in there, but they really weren't pulling them off. And now they're just like, screw it. You know,
they got accused of ripping off Lucha Underground, which
Lucha Underground has ripped them off.
Yeah.
And then, like, I don't mean that in a bad way, but they were doing kind of this. This theatrical element of it, this cinematic
element. For quite a while.
For a long time. It's been in the background, and they've done it really, really well. Lucha Underground, I think, just embraced it completely, and now I think TNA is playing catch-up on what they pioneered.
Exactly.
And I think they're doing really good. This was nuts. Favorite part?
There's so many good parts. There's so much good to it. I do have to say, though, in the beginning... I'll get this right off my chest now. It was not as good as the original Final Deletion.
No.
But what was going to be, since it was such a new thing, I don't think anything they could have done would have topped the first Final Deletion.
Can anything beat Jeff going, what is wrong with you? At that? That was the perfect. It was like, what is wrong? And I love...
I think he was the audience avatar at
I love the whole underlying gimmick of this, which is that Matt Hardy has gone bonkers.
And he's taking people with him.
And he has decided that he's not a wrestling heel. He is a supervillain. That's why he talks like that. And that's why the whole family's kind of going like, just indulge him. He's clearly bonkers.
Rebby just indulges it. Senor Benjamin just indulges it. Brother Nero, I think he may be broken as well.
And you know, then you have Decay, who have embraced their own crazy gimmick. And you've got two groups that have embraced the crazy gimmick. And then you've got a moment where you just go, and that moment...
When you combine all those elements into one... And let Jeremy Borash produce.
Jeremy Borash is a maniac, and it finally has been given the leeway that he needs. I'm like, this guy's kind of an idiot savant of wrestling, and I love it. But does anything get better than the moment where Rosemary spits the green mist, which is a classic part of crazy wrestling mythology. It's like, green mist, why not? Well,
firstly, when she did it to Vanguard 1, and I was watching it with my girlfriend, and she specifically goes, no, Vanguard 1!
Who weeps for Vanguard 1? We all weep for Vanguard 1.
We all do.
But then you have Matt inhaling the poison and spitting it with this look of like, the look on his face like, that actually worked! Maybe I am Doctor Doom! And he's like, he's a redneck Doctor Doom. Oh. And he spits it back in her face and she's like, the hell?! That's not how this is supposed to work.
And we had a return.
So great.
I wasn't a fan of them going back to the fireworks spot. I wanted more new. So it opened, and Abyss was kind of cartoon characters with the whole "this is not beautiful" line, and then they start running. Fireworks. I wanted something different than that, but I was happy to see the return of Skarsgård, the dilapidated boat. Which, that was my favorite scene where they kicked Abyss into the water, and what comes out is Joe Park. Brilliant.
None of this makes sense, and it's all internally consistent.
Yes.
That's the thing.
Everything has been consistent.
We are through the looking glass. It's like, this is written, why this works, for all its stupidity, for all its inanity, is that it is written by people who went, what did we do 10 years ago? What was that thing? Does anybody remember this? Like, this seems to fit. Why are we... And it's done knowing what the book was a year ago.
Yes.
And 2 years ago. 4 years ago. Whereas WWE can't remember what it did last week.
No. And
the classic one. Weren't Miz and Daniel Bryan never allowed to be in the same building ever again?
And the next week, they're on camera together. Next week.
I mean, they shot themselves in the foot the day that, like, you know, it was like 5 years ago when John Cena was supposed to have been suspended. Like, turns up the next day.
We all knew they don't have the balls to leave Cena off of TV more than 2 weeks. Well, the thing
is, they even handled it badly. It's just like, oh, I'm back. It's like...
Really?
Shouldn't you... do an Austin-style invasion? Or
the Stephanie angle where she's upset that Triple H, like, screwed Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, and then they're out at ringside, and she's like, yes, Kevin Owens, you do deserve it. This. What?
Does anybody get what's going on Raw?
No.
No. That title is the most confusing title situation, and it is only saved at the moment by the fact, one, it's Kevin Owens. Who is just... great.
He's
just
taking a belt that looks like Shinsuke Nakamura's pants, and he's giving it some class.
And Chris Jericho. Those two guys are what a... there's so much other good stuff on there, but it's being buried or misused. Sami Zayn?
And going back to that, well, the Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens, like, wasn't that supposed to end the feud?
Yeah.
And you stupidly put both guys on the same show!
So you put both of those in the same show and then actually have them in a match because you don't have... literally, because they haven't booked anything for the rest of the show. And this is the difference between SmackDown and Raw. SmackDown is actually now has the gimmick of like, oh, the booking team came up with some stuff to do this week. We have a card at the beginning of the show.
They treat it like an actual sport.
Yeah. Whereas
Raw still treats it like a soap opera and just the matches are just there.
Yeah. Literally, the management turns up and goes, what are we doing today? No, we'll figure it out when people... we'll wait until whoever is angry comes to the ring and then put them in some weird match.
And I knew this was going to happen. I knew it. When the moment they stated that... who was the head writer of NXT and some of those bookers are now the SmackDown head writer and bookers?
Yeah.
I knew that was going to happen. SmackDown was going to feel like the legit sports show and Raw like the cheesy soap opera.
And they can't help themselves.
They can't.
And there's Vince.
They can't.
That's Vince over and over again.
Broken Matt, every podcast he's been on since Broken Matt has debuted, he said, the TNA has to be different than Meek Mahan show. And it's true. TNA has done such a good job this in 2016 of setting themselves apart from every other promotion.
I honestly do wonder whether they will be able to renegotiate a new deal. Because their pop deal isn't...
I pray that they can get a higher profile network. I mean, Pop has treated them, giving them way more advertising than Destination America ever did. But it's still Pop. They need to talk to Spike again. Now that Russo is truthfully out of the picture, Dixie is not in the driver's seat anymore, Billy Corgan can sit down at the table with...
I think they need to talk to Spike. I think they also... because Spike needs something. Spike needs something
desperate. Spike dumped them, unceremoniously dumped TNA. What have they had outside of MMA ever since?
And they don't really have... they don't have... particularly good MMA anymore. No. I mean, they've lost.
And they have Cops. They can show marathons of Cops all day long.
They need something to justify.
At this point, they need TNA more than TNA needs them.
Yeah. Who ever thought that would come? their roster is young, their booking is sharp, their ideas are fascinating.
They have new stars being made. EC3 can be the new John Cena.
Yeah.
All he needs is a bigger platform. I mean, they're doing Make-A-Wish stuff. They're doing all this high-profile stuff. The main problem is they don't have a weekly television show to gain the masses.
Yeah. They
on a high-profile network.
They are so close to being there. And I honestly think, like, you know, it may not even be that they have to go somewhere like Spike. I think they have to work out a good deal somewhere that... they could start looking at that. Yeah, they need to work out how to make the transition across the death of cable, which is coming. And it's one of the things, just a side point, everybody bitches about, like, oh, look how low the ratings are for Raw. Look how low the ratings are for SmackDown. Like, do you know how many people are cutting cable now?
Yes.
Like, people do not want to have a cable subscription. It's a dying place. So for them to draw in any kind of numbers is... is kind of, particularly because the core audiences for wrestling are less and less interested in having a cable box with 500 channels they're just going to flip straight through, and they're never going to watch, and they don't want to watch. They don't want to watch the 10 o'clock, the midnight chat shows. They don't care about that.
And honestly, the only reason I still have cable: Monday Night Raw, Tuesday Night SmackDown, Wednesday Night Lucha Underground, and whatever else is going on. Thursday night TNA, Friday night New Japan on Access, Saturday night Ring of Honor on Sinclair Broadcasting. It's, I don't like to stream, so I, that's the pretty much the only reason I still have cable.
Yeah. And when those guys work out how to make the transfer across to something else, and like you got something like, you know, Fight TV becomes more well-rounded, I think you will see a lot of people. This is a funny thing, particularly because the network, in a lot of ways, sabotages the TV shows. Because you go, well, you know what? I've got 10 hours a week of spare time.
Monday Night Raw?
How much, you know...
Monday Night Raw. USA is the perfect example. The three-hour crap. That was all because USA Network.
Yeah, and it's such a bad idea. It's never got better. But, you know... I think generally we're just in a really interesting place at the moment. You know,
there's a lot of content out there, more so probably than during the height of the popularity during the Attitude Era. I don't think we had this many promotions on weekly primetime television.
Yeah. Well, and we've got... What's next up? It's Clash of Champions, I think?
Yes, Clash of Champions. Next week.
Yeah, God.
Bi-weekly pay-per-views.
Boy, it's like 17... 19. Oy. That's the spare time much. And the never.
That's a bit much.
Yeah, because we've got Clash of Champions.
They need content to fill the network. Honestly, I think that's the main reason why they did that.
No Mercy following that. Hell in a Cell.
Is Hell in a Cell going to be a joint pay-per-view?
It's a Raw exclusive. The next joint is Survivor Series.
Wow. Hopefully, I have a bad feeling that Raw is going to get all the high-impact exclusives, like Hell in a Cell, Elimination Chamber, and SmackDown's going to be left with...
Well, they haven't scheduled Elimination Chamber yet. I don't think they've... Well, plus...
This is problem.
They kind of turned away from Elimination Chamber. It's not the world's greatest.
They really need to go away from the gimmick pay-per-views such as Hell in a Cell, Elimination Chamber, even Money in the Bank. I feel the matches are less special.
SmackDown's getting TLC.
Oh, okay.
Which is absolutely the right...
By having gimmick-themed pay-per-views... Those matches are on a timetable where you know they're going to happen every year. Back in the day, the match would just pop up once every other year or so, and it felt more special.
I don't know, because TNA Lockdown, that was one of their mainstays, and that was consistently pretty damn good, because you're like oh, it's not, there's going to be a... Their feud. Oh, they're going to blow it off with a cage match. It's who gets the cage match?
But
and you have that anticipation of who's that.
So I accept it with TNA because it's the only one. Whereas WWE has what? If you count TLC, that's technically 5 gimmick themed pay per views.
Yeah, because we got Hell in a Cell, Survivor Series, TLC, Money in the Bank,
Elimination Chamber.
There was something they did Elimination Chamber.
I say this. Hell in a Cell, get rid of Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, get rid of Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. Maybe even get rid of TLC pay-per-view.
Just have them
as special matches to blow off feuds, or...
They may have got rid of Elimination Chamber because the last one was May of last year. So it's been over a year since we've had one. Thing was always, it never worked right.
No.
They didn't know how to book it. People were getting hurt left, right, and center. The only,
especially the Goldberg one.
Oh.
How many guys did that guy hurt in that match?
People getting stuck in there. People either get stuck in their pods and their pods would fall apart. And then when they tried to do something clever with Sheamus putting his Celtic cross, Whoa. The one room, speaking of Sheamus, the one room I'm really excited about is there's a lot of speculation that Cesaro will win the best of seven. And say, oh, yeah, I really, really want to go for the other belt. Like, this, I have to wait too long here to get my shot at Reigns. And that they'll swap him over to SmackDown.
Freudian slip? Shot at Reigns?
Oh, yeah. To be honest, by that point. That
we know how that's going
to
go.
That he'll that he's going to head to SmackDown, and they may do a swap.
Oh, Cesaro versus AJ Styles.
Oh, my God. What would be wrong about that?
Oh, that's...
Although, I do want to... Well,
that would be so good.
Yeah, and interestingly, he has actually publicly said that he wants them to ban the Muscle Buster.
Oh, really?
He's publicly said that. Because he said... And that was a total shoot. He was like, almost killed my best friend. Wow. I do not think Joe should be allowed to do the Muscle Buster. It's just too dangerous.
Damn, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, because apparently TJ, like 5% of people survive that injury. Like, he really came very, very close to dying. His neck is like 50% surgical steel.
Oh my God.
He has a rod, he has bolts, and Cesaro came out and said, no more Muscle Buster. Which will, you know, honestly, I'm okay with that. Because...
Joe has the coquina clutch.
He's got so much. And Joe modified the Muscle Buster anyway, because it used to be, you know, now he does it. It's kind of the fall down.
Yes, yeah, it's almost like a flat back bump now.
Yeah, and it used to be much more like he just dropped down.
Yeah.
And I think that was hurting him quite badly. And it was a really, really, really good way to shatter your clavicle, which I'm amazed he never did. Like, that's
shocking.
That proves how tough that guy is. He's Meng level tough. But you know, I just think that, you know, I'm with Cesaro. I think, you know, it's not as impressive as it used to be. It's a kind of messy, for a lot of people, it's just a messy hanging suplex.
Yeah. Oh, and another bit of news with Paige basically staying on, was she on Raw?
Yeah.
How is this going to play out now with Del Rio gone?
Yep.
Not saying that she needed protection, but I'm not going to say it feels like they're out to get her, but I have a feeling. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
She seems to have gotten lost in the shuffle through this entire Divas Revolution.
There's rumors that she actually quit at one point, and they, you know, and it's a shame because
she's such a good talent.
She's so good. She's so good on the mic. I think they did botch by having her originally come up and be like, I'm just a big AJ fan. And it was like, everybody from TNA, from NXT knows who you are. The British audience knows your lineage. Wrestling fans know your lineage. Have her come up and go, I'm just going to challenge you. And I think if she'd have come up with the Four Horsewomen, I think that she'd be in a very, very different situation.
Or when they came up, she didn't get lost and completely lost in the shuffle.
But they didn't know what to do with the shuffle anyway. They just kept shuffling. That was what went wrong there. They just went, let's move people around until we can work out what to do with any of them.
That hurt Paige and that hurt Becky Lynch.
Oh, so badly. And now Becky's back on track. I think it would be, I think the sensible thing would be to shift Paige
over. Paige should have been the SmackDown from the start. Paige, Natalya, Becky Lynch, and I will give credit where credit is due, Naomi, who has improved a lot over
endlessly.
The years. If she were to win the Women's Championship on SmackDown, I would not be too upset.
I wouldn't be upset at all. I think she's now at a point where she deserves it and can have
exactly.
It. I think, you know, like a year after the whole Funkadactyls thing. Remember Tons of Fun? I think that would have been too soon, but she's really come to... And fortunately on Raw, they're actually doing something with who I think is the most underrated female wrestler in terms of suddenly she went, oh, I'm actually good at this. Alicia Fox is back. In a weird angle.
Yes.
She could be really good when she's
although... I'm so upset at the angle with her and Nia Jax, where Nia Jax had a squash match, beat her friend, some local talent. I don't understand why Alicia was so upset. It's not like Nia Jax beat her up after the match. Had she done so, that would have made more sense. But she flipped out on Nia Jax and then broke character.
Oh, yes. Well, she did throw a box in her face.
But the thing is, Alicia Fox is crazy. Should not care. I thought they shot it all live. No, it was a pre-tape. Raw has finally wised up and started using pre-tapes for the backstage stuff, which makes sense. Why didn't they reshoot it? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, well, that's it for the week. We are breathless. We are gassed. We are blown out. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. We always appreciate you guys listening to everything on the oneofus.net network. Plugs, you can find my work every week at the Austin Chronicle.
And myself at oneofus.net at Smart Country and also at thescrumsports.com.
Well, as always, thanks very much for listening and ding ding!